Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And, I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh. Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not.
Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
And good morning. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Trevor Valise. Sitting in the hot seat again, and there is a absolute reason that you're in the hot seat today. Good morning, Trevor, and guess what? You might be in that hot seat for a little bit.
That's
because
right.
Our guy, Derek Piper, and his wife, Haley, have welcomed in a new baby boy. Congratulations to them.
Good morning to Cade Piper.
Yes! Cade Man, already with more followers on Twitter than myself and you combined, probably. Yeah, we're happy to report that Haley's doing great. Baby Cade is doing wonderful, and I just can't be more excited. It's funny, in my years here at the radio station at SJ Broadcasting, I've seen Jeremy Warner get married and now have two beautiful babies. I've seen Mike Carpenter get married. I'm waiting on Carp's baby, he and Kara. And then now with Derek Piper, I've seen him get married, and now he and Haley are having a baby. So I feel like the grandfather.
Are you saying I need to get married or something?
Well, you and Hans, one of you are next. Oh, congratulations to Hans. It's a big day.
It's a big day around here. Lots of news.
Hans is now a certified pilot.
That's right. He could take you and I anywhere.
Let's go. I still want to wait another year.
Let it sink in for a while.
Right. Sorry, Hansi. I feel like not grandfather, like grandpa.
Yeah.
I feel like a mob boss grandfather.
Yeah.
Like the family is all growing.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of the guy that sat here and watched it all occur.
That's right.
No, but congratulations certainly to Derek and Haley and all the family. And, of course, Cade Piper. I can't wait to meet him. He is a cutie. Derek sent us a picture, and he's either yelling or yawning. We think he's yelling because Derek said he had just had a shot. So I would be yelling as well.
Definitely, I would be yelling.
All right, a lot to do today. We got Dave Wishnowski coming up, bottom of the hour. I know you've got to go and do something. You're always doing something. So.
Well, there's always stuff to do.
I know, that's true. So I told you, I said, just go do your stuff and then come back and join me later. But we are going I am going to talk to Dave Wishnowski, of course, journalist up in Chicago. He's a U of I alum. He's a guy that's got a pretty good thumbprint of Illinois sports. So I want to ask him about everything that's going on with Illinois. Also want to ask him about the Bears and the Cubbies and Io. So I want to tackle all of
that's
that
a lot
with
of
him.
Stuff.
That's a lot of stuff. And then we're going to hear from Brad Underwood starting next hour. He met with the media yesterday. And Trevor, I thought it was interesting that, you know, he had a lot, some pretty poignant opinions on what's going on in college basketball right now. And I've said this so many times, I'm tired of hearing myself say it, but there's no violin out for Brad Underwood. He's guy makes $3+ million, right? He's doing fine. And these coaches are paid handsomely to deal with this. But certainly there's a lot going on with NIL, with now the transfer portal. There's just a lot of stuff that all of a sudden has been thrown on college coaches, both on the men and women's side here in the last couple of years. And, you know, like anything, I don't care what your job is. If all of a sudden there's major changes like that in a couple of years, it's something that you're going to have to get used to. And you don't always have to like it. And I think Brad Underwood has some interesting things to say about that, too.
Yeah, I mean, you have to adapt to it.
Yes.
But it's certainly not something anyone has signed up for if you were a coach. Maybe you would now knowing it, or maybe not, but right. He didn't know
I'll
it
when still
he,
take the money.
For sure, yeah. But it's something new that you have to adapt to. And, you know, I think some coaches have clearly leaned into it more or better than others. I think Brad has done a great job so far.
Him right.
And Brett, I would almost argue, has done as good a job as anyone with.
Agree.
You know, he found a loophole to bring Palcho back. You know, he's got all these different things going. So
blue shirts going on.
That's right. So I commend both of them for seemingly being able to be flexible enough to adapt rather yeah. quickly to it. But again, to your point, it's like, I mean, it's adapt or you have no one on your roster.
Amen.
So adapt or die in that sense, I guess. But he hits a lot on that. He hits a lot on, you know, who's left, who.
Sure.
Who, you know, he jokes right at the beginning of it. You'll hear it later next hour. He jokes. He just sits at his computer and hits refresh all day to see who's in the portal next.
I love it.
So,
you know, I'm not called like, okay, I joke about how old I am, but I don't feel like I'm old yet. Brad and Brett are both essentially Brad, a little bit older than me. Brett, I think, is my age. But certainly here's what I would do. I would hire someone young to tell me what to do. Just be like, okay, you, what's your
yeah.
name again?
Yeah.
Hans. Okay. You tell me every 15 minutes if anybody else has entered the portal and why they would help me. And you, what's your name? I mean, I literally sure. would just have that, you know, okay. Okay. Your name is Tom. You need to be in touch with all the NIL guys to let me know how much
other
is available.
Thing.
It's incredible.
With the graphics and the advertising
yep.
and the NIL and all that. I mean, when you're a college basketball coach, you're not supposed to be good at Photoshop, but now you need someone in there who is
yes.
to help impress some NIL person. You
That's
know?
Why kids so. Like you get jobs. You're not a kid, are you? Well
I mean, in
retrospect, you know,
relatively speaking, I guess I'm a kid.
I wish somebody would call me a kid. I'm not going to lie to you about that. I want to ask you real quick on Dane Danger. Obviously, we don't know what else is going to be on this basketball team in terms of the post, but in your mind, with now Kofi leaving, and obviously Coleman Hawkins is a guy that can take some minutes at that five when needed, but more so, I think, at the four, and a kid like Brandon Lieb is still here. I don't see him, you know, doing much for your squad in terms of playing minutes, starter minutes, let's say, or big-time minutes. So I ask you, without going overboard, what would your expectation be for Dane Danger? And not only that, what do you think it needs to be? What do you think he needs to be next year for Illinois to play at a somewhat high level? Maybe not a Big Ten championship level, but a team that competes in the top half of the Big Ten and makes it to the NCAA tournament. What would you expect out of a guy like Dane Danger, who we're hearing has lost 20 pounds? He, you know, what Brad calls him the dancing bear. He loves the fact that he can move and is fleet on his toes. He's a great passer. He's going to give you things that Kofi not necessarily did. So with that in mind, I'll shut up. What do you think?
Well, I mean, first of all, you need to lower the bar from Kofi level, no matter.
No doubt.
And I'm not saying anyone's expecting him to be Kofi. I just mean we've become so almost numb to the idea that, you know, your center's going to give you, you know, a dominating presence.
18 and 10.
A magnet for the defense, 18 points, 10 rebounds a game. Like, just throw that. You have to throw that out the window
yes.
almost. And I'm not saying he's going to give you nothing. But to even say, well, if he can be 80% of Kofi, we'll be great. Like, I just, you can't bank on that. Because, I mean, I look at it here and I want to read off, he was a top five center and a four-star, borderline five-star when he committed to Baylor. But guess what? I read that exact same thing about Omar Payne.
That's exactly right.
And that's not a great comp. I think they're different. Obviously, you know, Payne was even skinnier, taller,
mm-hmm.
more of a, you know, rim runner type of alley-oop recipient.
Good point.
Whereas from what we've heard, at least, Danger, you know, he's slimmed down a little bit. He is more fleet on his feet. But my point is simply, I don't want to just look at it and go, well, I mean, he never played at Baylor, but he was a top 20 center and a top 90 player overall, so you're getting a five-star center right away. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it'd be foolish to say that. I you know, right now, if you were, you know, gun to my head, I'd say, I don't know, 8.6 boards a
That's
game
fair.
Or something like that.
That's fair.
I mean, I'm not expecting him to average a double-double. I again, to your point, I think if you were going in the negative direction on Kofi, it was just that he was such an anchor that sometimes it felt like everything had to run through him, whereas I don't think everything is going to have to run through Dane Danger.
I think that's fair. I think you're going to play a lot different too, right? I'm hoping.
Yeah, hopefully.
I'm hoping you're going to have a roster next season that is more athletic. I think we'll understand that, right? You're playing a little bit different style to where you're expecting maybe rebounds from four positions, whereas maybe last year you were expecting him from three.
Yes.
And whereas Io was a great rebounder last year, you know, Adam Miller was a good rebounder to Io and Adam 2 years ago. You didn't necessarily get that out of your guards this year.
No, I mean, you were small this past year.
Exactly.
No offense to Trent or any of them. Nope. But
So what I do where I stress out, and you know, you and Derek and Jeremy and Carp, all before you guys all know that rebounding is my big thing. I want to control rebounds. And when Brad Underwood was hired, and I heard that he at Stephen F. Austin and Oklahoma State, their teams always led or were huge in rebounding, I was like, boom, that's a great hire. Obviously, I needed more out of Brad, and he's shown me that.
That's it. You were sold.
That was it. Just rebounding. But it's one of those where you need to rebound because you don't want to give other teams extra chances on one end, and you need a couple extra chances on the other. And I think now what you do is you now take you say basically to your team, there's 12 rebounds we got to go get. There's 12 more rebounds we got to get. So Luke Goody, if you normally average 4, you need to average 5. RJ Melendez, if you were normally at 3, you need to get 5. And so that's how you kind of piece it together,
yeah,
right?
Kind of to like Moneyball when they're replacing everybody.
That's exactly right.
Sitting in the room and he goes, we don't need, you know, Jeremy, we don't need Jason Giambi, we need a 270 on base percentage.
Exactly.
Right?
He can't even walk, you
understand. But he gets on base.
But he gets on
base. So, yeah, to your point, there's a little bit of that. And, you know, maybe the silver lining of losing a Kofi is just the freedom of being able to open it up a little bit more. But, I mean, we don't know. I don't know anything about Danger.
I know.
In terms of in-game characteristics.
Correct.
Because we haven't even seen him at college, period. You know, I mean, we have not seen him as a collegiate player yet. So I don't know, you know, something no one's talking about, except you did bring it up. Kofi almost never fouled out, despite him being someone that you would tab as something to worry about.
There's no doubt.
Trouble. I don't know. What if Danger just hacks everybody? Yeah. I mean, I certainly
like
hope.
Like Omar.
Like Omar. I certainly hope that's not the case. But, you know, we don't know anything about his in-game characteristics yet. We don't know if he's foul prone. We don't know if he gets lost in transition or if he's great in transition. You know, we can look at a scouting report on him from 2.5 years ago as a high school player, but we just don't know.
No.
So I'm keeping my bar, you know, mediocre at best until we actually see him out on the court, which is a bit of a cop-out to you asking what exactly
he's going
to do. No,
but I think that's fair. I mean, obviously, none of us know what he's going to give us, right? I mean, maybe Brad and that staff understands, and maybe it's a deal where, you know, BBV enters the transfer portal and we look into it more like he's like, hey, you know what? This dude isn't Omar Payne.
Right.
He's really good, and I'm not going to play over him, and I don't want to continue to be just this role player. I want to go somewhere and have a chance to be a starter on a team, which you wouldn't blame him at all. I asked you yesterday, I don't know if I asked you, but I mentioned to you about I'm going to be more interested this year in the non-conference games. Those winnable games that, you know, against Cleveland State or whatever, you know, that normally the last couple of years you're just like, oh, I don't care about this game. We've got veterans on our team. We've got Kofi. We've got Io. We're going to blow this team out. It's not going to mean anything. I mean, I'll watch, but I'm not that excited. I'm excited about those non-conference games this year to see this. The other thing about it, in a weird way, I'm really excited about Illinois basketball again. And it's almost as though the pressures and the expectations the last 2 years, you pretty much knew what your team was going to do. And I will take that every year, by the way. So if you're going to tell me every year, oh, by the way, this team is a Final Four possibility. They're going to be ranked, you know, a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament or better. And you're going to vie for a Big Ten championship. Sign me up. In a weird way, though, this next year with all these new pieces and new faces and new names, I'm actually really excited to see how that's going to work and how that's going to gel.
Totally agree with you. I think, again, it's something that even I want to catch myself in doing because it's very obvious that we're saying that because Kofi is gone, right? Like,
yes.
If I lose a bet tonight, I'm never going to say, well, it's great that I lost a bet, but my mindset might be, you know what, it was good for me to have that gut punch because then I'll be more focused on my next bet. I'd never think that if I won the bet, obviously. So I'm not sitting here saying like, you know what, good riddance, Kofi.
Amen.
I'm going to enjoy having no expectations for this team. But to your point, I think that there was an inherent pressure last year going into every game because you knew so well what every person was supposed to give you.
Yes.
That it was extremely stressful when they didn't, you know, like I'm not targeting anyone, but you know, DeMonte does something bad on the offensive end. And for the sixth year in a row, you say, oh, DeMonte, like it just gets tiring.
It does.
And again, I'm not targeting him or anything, but this year, if, you know, Sky has an ill-advised shot, I'm not going to go, oh, there goes Sky again, because we don't even know, you know, we haven't seen enough of him to know that. So there's inherently less expectation and pressure.
I like your thoughts.
And I said this last week with you guys, if Illinois this year does what Michigan did this past year.
Yes.
And again, I'm not saying make the Sweet 16 or whatever, you know, whatever they ended up doing, but just in terms of if they have a lot of highly touted new pieces that don't necessarily gel right away, but they eventually come together, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
I think that's a perfectly fine season.
That's
because
fair.
Again, I don't have this burden as a fan going, it's Sweet 16 or bust for this team.
Because
it can't be Sweet 16 or bust for this team. We don't even know this team yet.
I think just getting to the tournament would be great and everything else is great.
Right.
I think that's the...
So in that way, you enjoy it more.
Yep.
Because you're not as worried about the pressure mounted on this team.
Here's a cool thing. Deion Thomas, a guy that would know a lot about Kofi, Dane Danger, the post game, all of that. He's going to join us tomorrow. I'm excited about this. Deion will join us tomorrow at 4:20. And can I say it? Because I know you're not a hockey guy. Chris Raby's going to join us. He works for the St. Louis Blues now. We haven't heard his name in a while, but we're going to have both of those guys on tomorrow. And I am going to... Are you even going to ask a question to Chris Raby?
No. Oh, I've got one. Why did the Dallas Stars lose to the Arizona Phoenix whatever Coyotes last
night? Another one, too. Why did we bet the Rangers when you told me don't do it because they had nothing to play for, and yet we did it?
And yet the team that did have something to play for also lost.
Yeah.
And in fact, Vegas then lost in a shootout to the Blackhawks.
That's right. So three of our no-brainer NHL picks all lost. And you know what? They paid for it because now Vegas is not even in the playoffs.
That's pretty bad to lose
that
to the second worst team in hockey and just be out of the playoffs.
It's
then.
I mean, ridiculous.
You can ask Chris about it.
That's your choice. Yeah. I'll do that if I remember. I don't know. I don't really want to talk about them. So Deion Thomas tomorrow and Chris Raby, that'll be awesome. One other thing, we got to get to a break here to get Dave Wishnowski on. You don't have any picks tonight, your Chicago Bears. It's the NFL draft. In the past, on this show, and it's been pretty stupid, probably, I'm going to be honest.
We've always done it a lot, though.
We've always predicted the draft order, but there's zero interest in terms of a Bears fan. And even me, like a Cardinals fan, they draft 23rd. There's no real star coming out in this thing. Nobody even quite knows who's going to be the number one pick overall in the draft in general. I think the consensus is starting to shape up.
Trayvon Walker from Georgia, I think, will go number one to the Jaguars. Then there's Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan.
He should go to Detroit immediately.
And it makes sense because Detroit, Michigan, he went to Michigan. He's from Michigan. So that all makes sense. Lovie Smith picking third with the Houston Texans. I'm not sure the route they'll go there.
The story here is that there's so many teams that have multiple picks. I think the Texans have two picks in the first round. The Jets have two picks in the first round.
The Giants.
I think there's eight teams that don't even pick in the first round.
The Giants have two top seven picks.
That's unreal.
Picks five and seven. The quarterbacks, there's the Malik Willis kid out of Liberty who you know, he certainly has that.
The Jets have 4-9.
They have 4-9. So both New York teams have two top 10 picks.
Great. Just what we want to do is
there's Kenny Pickett out of Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Maybe he goes to Pittsburgh later in the first round. Right now, the mocks are saying George Karloftis goes to your Arizona
Cardinals.
Let's go.
Cardinals. I'll take that.
At 23.
You lose Chandler Jones. It makes sense.
The Packers have two picks in the 20s because they traded Devontae Adams to the Raiders, so they take their pick.
And you know what's going
to
happen? They're going to be a thorn in my side because they're going to steal a wide receiver we need.
Chris
like
Olave,
Treylon Burks or Chris Olave if he's there. The Packers are going to get that guy that the Cardinals need. I really think if it came down to it and Karloftis is off, nobody cares. If Karloftis is off the board and the receivers are off the board, if I'm the Cardinals, I'm trading down in the first round with somebody that could move up to get something.
That makes sense.
And I'm grabbing an extra third or fourth rounder.
Whatever.
You know, one of those. All right, we got to get what?
No, another high Big Ten pick is Linderbaum, the lineman out of Iowa.
Okay, I love him. Somebody is going to get him, and you've got your center for the next 10 years.
He's projected 18th right now, which seems a little low, but I don't know.
I would take him in a heartbeat.
So basically, I'm saying I'm not interested in the draft.
That's fair. That's fair. I've got some baseball to watch tonight, and then I'll be interested
there you go.
What the Cardinals do 23. All right, maybe there'll be some trades and kind of have some fun with it. Let's get out of here because Dave Wishnowski is next. He's going to join me next. Brad Underwood, next hour, we'll hear from Brad Underwood, and we'll kind of wrap things up. And if any news breaks, of course, we got it for you right here. Quick break. Dave Wishnowski next, talking some Illini sports. It is The Drive.
Illini fans.
Game day spirit, where Illini fans shop. Shop Game Day's NIL pieces at one of their three locations, in stores or online at GameDaySpirit.com.
Take advantage of great deals like $24 crew neck sweatshirts, $12 long sleeve tees, and short sleeve tees for as low as $8. Plus, shop their selection of discounted Illinois athletic equipment room merchandise.
Game day spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Brought to you by the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit.
Stevie J Broadcasting's Law Enforcement Official of the Month. Brought to you by Crossroads Contractor Supply.
I am honored to welcome Nick Perrine to our studios. Okay, so is there a typical day for a motorcycle police officer?
Well, I don't think any day is typical in policing in general, but the hardcore motorcycle riders out there will give me a hard time for this, but I have no shame in saying I'm a fair weather rider, so got to be at least 50 degrees to get out there. And then I don't really develop a plan for shift, I guess. You kind of go where the calls take you and develop a general, here's where I might spend extra time on today, depending on where if we're going to do traffic or what events we have going on, things like that.
All right, you said Arthur, sorry, but I'm thinking cheese. What's your favorite cheese?
I like spicy, so probably pepper jack.
Oh, pepper jack, yeah. But you know, can't the good pepper jack.
Yeah.
There's pepper jack and there's pepper jack.
Right.
You got the good stuff here. Yeah.
Specializing in tools and equipment delivered within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Visit CrossroadsContractorSupplyIL.com.
The Weekend Warrior. The two-day handyman. You're going to tear up the basement. You're going to clean out the garage. Where are you going to put all of that junk? Let Bulldog Disposal take care of it for you. With dumpsters, 10, 20, and 30-yard containers, and more available, they can handle your residential, commercial, industrial, or construction project. For more information on what they can provide for you, call 217-841-2629.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
ESPN Radio 93.5. Lonte, of course, just getting things done here on a Thursday as we get a little bit sunny out. I know the rain came out earlier today, but now the sun peeking through, which is always good to see. A lot still to do today, but right now we're going to welcome in. In fact, we've got a little Brad Underwood audio coming up. Of course, he spoke with the media yesterday and basically said, look, it's not an easy time to be a head basketball coach. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, look, the violins aren't out, right? I mean, they make a lot of money, but it is certainly not an easy job with everything going on with NIL and the portal. And my next guest certainly knows plenty about that. We're going to the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line and bringing in Dave Wishnowski, longtime, of course, journalist in the Chicago area and a big Illinois alum and fan. Dave, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. It's good to be on with you, Lon.
Absolutely. You know, Piper, he'll do anything to avoid you.
I do. You can have a baby to get away from me, huh? Right.
Yeah, Cade Piper has been, has blessed us in this world, and I know what a wonderful thing for Derek and Haley. They're all doing great, and I know as a guy that knows Derek Piper yourself, it's just wonderful news to add another member to the family.
That's awesome. I'm so happy for him. That's going to keep him busy. Just for Easter was with my brother who has four kids.
Wow.
And that's a handful, but it's fun too. So I'm really excited for Derek. That's fantastic.
Well, before we get to sports, you brought it up with, I know you just went to see your nephews, following along with you on Twitter, but I'll give you this. You and your wife are absolute world-class travelers, and I kind of live through you. Now, anybody that knows me understands that I do plenty of tours down at Florida on a beach. I mean, that is my haven. That's my, as Jimmy Buffett said, it's good for the soul. Get by the ocean and just kind of relax and recharge. But, Dave, you guys, you and your wife, you guys have been like over different countries, and you're always doing that. Is that just part of the plan? I mean, did you guys, I assume both of you love to travel, and do you literally sit down and go, what's next?
We really do. I mean, that's one of the things we bonded over the most, and we loved it. Love to travel, love to explore places. We're going back. Charleston's like our favorite city in the U.S. We're heading back there at the end of May.
Awesome.
And then the summer, we actually are going back to Europe for the first time since before the pandemic. So we're going to be over in Malta and Italy.
Wow.
Lake Como, Italy. So it should be really cool. Looking forward to that as well, too. But we both just love to travel. It's one of our favorite things that we bonded over when we first started dating. And it's just been a great experience.
That's so cool. You know, Stevie J is in Italy right now. They've got a group over there, and he is reporting every day on his show, which you'll hear again tomorrow morning, of course. He is in the Rome area now, and they took a big group over, and from all sounds of it, he just loves it over there. What are some of the other countries over in that area you've been to?
Well, Portugal is maybe our favorite country over in Europe, which is awesome. Croatia, actually, too, really underrated. Dubrovnik, which is where Game of Thrones was set for King's Landing.
Well,
that was really cool. I also love London a lot, too. It's just a great great city. And Spain's a cool country as well, too. There's still a lot of places I'd love to see. But Italy's awesome as well. So that's great. He's over in Rome. What a cool city. There's so much history over there. It's just awesome.
That's so cool. Yeah, like Dave has never been to Bloomington, Indiana, but he's been to every country in Europe.
Check everything off. Park one nearby.
Yeah, you can get to Bloomington anytime, right? I mean, it's one of those.
Right.
All right. Well, you heard me mention the fact that we're going to play some Brad Underwood audio, and I know you obviously probably either heard it or saw some of the sound bites that he had or, you know, on Twitter, et cetera, yesterday. But Brad Underwood essentially said, look, it's a hard time to be a college basketball coach. And as mentioned, you know, he's making $3 million. The violin isn't out for a guy like Brad Underwood. He gets paid handsomely to deal with this. But when you think about it, Dave, in the history of the NCAA or the history of college basketball, two of the biggest things that have ever been done are the transfer portal, where guys and gals can just go whenever they want, essentially without penalty the first time, and then also the NIL, the name, image, likeness. For those two things to be thrown upon coaches right now within a matter of, you know, a couple of years, that is a lot to digest and figure out.
It is a lot. I don't envy coaches right now with trying to navigate all of that. I mean, recruiting and coaching and handling all your players and your rosters, keeping them in line, is enough as is. Now it's nonstop recruiting, and you're recruiting your own players on an annual basis, you know, and having to figure out those NIL situations. It's a lot more empowerment for the players, which I think are good in a lot of ways, but man, does it ever complicate things. I think that's why you saw Jay Wright retire at a young age, really. I just think that he doesn't want to deal with all that.
Amen.
He's probably a big driver for a significant. I think we'll probably see some other veteran coaches within the next few years follow that same lead. So it is a complicated situation. Like you said, they're handsomely paid, but it's nonstop stress. There is no off season any longer.
Yeah, and you brought it up right in terms of just recruiting your own players, because, you know, I mean, Dave, I don't think you can coach like that, and I think Brad Underwood certainly is a guy that doesn't, but, you know, we're human. We watch games. We watch, like, if Coleman Hawkins gets taken out of a game and he's upset, or, you know, if Luke Goody's not getting the playing time he kind of hoped for. I'm just bringing up guys' names, you know, that are popping in my head.
Sure.
But the idea is, you understand, like, well, I'm sure, I know me, I'll finish a game once in a while and maybe tip back another Bud Light and be like, oh, boy, I hope Coleman's not mad enough that he's going to leave. I mean, that's just kind of where we're at.
It is a situation now where you really got to navigate all those potential pitfalls and potholes. I think the NCAA needs to figure out a little bit better, tweak the system. Maybe guys can't transfer until after 2 years and then they get an immediate transfer.
Good
or
call.
Something else. I don't know. There needs to be a few refinements here to keep it from that it's this mass chaos every offseason, because it's a little bit too wild right now. And it is. You've got one guy get in the past, if a guy was a little upset, well, you know, he'll figure it out. He's got more time here. He's not going to be going anywhere and sitting out. But now he could just leave and go anywhere else immediately. So it is a more complicated situation than ever has been before.
I agree. And I believe it was Josh Whitman, kind of to your point, that kind of stated it'd be nice to kind of do it to where maybe you can't leave after your freshman year. So you have to, you know, you made a commitment to a coach, you made a commitment to a university, and, you know, get the feel of your freshman year and sophomore year. And then if things aren't right, then you can leave. And, of course, I know people are quick to jump on that and say, well, coaches can leave. So all you do, it's a simple fix, right? You just say you cannot leave until after your sophomore year unless – and then, you know, maybe there's a couple of lines in there that can make it happen. I just think then, like to you, what you're saying is then you would get someone that could get to know their university better, get to know their coach better. And I just think it would be a win-win. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it's not unreasonable to have extra parameters in place like that. So, and if your coach did leave, maybe you did have immediate transfer eligibility or something like that. So, you know, there's some ways it can be figured out. And so, you never know. With leadership at the top of the NCAA, I don't always trust that coming up with the best ideas. But I hope that there's some there are smart people out there that are involved with the organization, no doubt. But some of those decision makers, I hope they can come in and examine it and find some ways to adjust here and there.
Yeah, and man, the things I discovered at SIU Carbondale after my sophomore year, I'm like, hey, I'm glad I stayed.
Right? Absolutely. It's true. Your sophomore year is a whole new world. Freshman, you don't know what's going on.
No.
Sophomore year, you got things figured out a lot, but you may still not know what's going on a lot of ways, but you know things a lot more than you did when you first arrived.
Without a doubt. Dave Wishnowsky is our guest. He is my horseshoe buddy, confidant here at Illinois. We both sitting there. You got your tickets again, right?
I do. We got to meet up this fall for sure.
We always say that, and for some reason, we never make it happen, which is ridiculous, but we will. I promise we will do this. All right, not to go down the football path yet, because I want to stay on basketball. Kofi makes the decision. Dave, I'll be honest with you. I thought he would come back. I really did, and for a lot of different reasons. I thought he would be back, but I also, obviously, I don't just whatever the begrudge, the idea that he's taking off and trying his hand at a professional. What was your gut feel about Kofi? And then once he made his decision, what did you think of that?
I really thought he was coming back the whole time. I thought it made the most sense for him just in terms of the NIL money that I think was probably there for him. The fact that he's, you know, a borderline at best, probably a draft pick. We'll see. I hope he gets picked, but it's not any guarantees at all. With that, and just the questions about that, and I think he continued to work on his game as well too. So I really, up until the end, I was expecting that he was going to return. My take on the end, I think he just decided he was done with school and wants to try something different. And more power to him with that. Honestly, I think really, if we looked at it from when Kofi first arrived, we got an extra season out of him than we probably really anticipated getting in the first place. At least one. So I hope the best for him. I hope things work out great. I would have loved to have seen him back. I think it would have made sense on a lot of levels for him to come back, but it's his life. It's his decision, his career, and more power to him, and I hope he has the best success. I hope that he can latch on with an NBA team. It would be great to see.
It'd be awesome. What will you remember most about Kofi and what he was able to accomplish, not only he, but the team in general? What is something in 10 years if someone said, yeah, you guys had that big guy, Kofi Coburn, what would you say to those people if they said something like that?
I mean, to me, he's the most dominant force that we've ever seen play for Illini basketball. And I think it's going to be tough for us to see one more dominant than him. I mean, physical specimen. You know, he's basically Shaq again in college. Or it really was. And I think what I'll look at, he and Io, the two of them, were really the tandem that brought Illinois basketball back. Brad Underwood obviously gets enormous credit for putting it all together, but on the court, those two guys I think really be looked at as the keys to bringing Illini back from the depths and getting them to a place where I'm hoping it can be a perennially powerful program again.
Yes.
And just, they're going to be, you know, enormous great for both. You know, Kofi's going to be up in the rafters as well, too, with his All-American status and well-deserved. And just, he was such a treat to watch for 3 years.
It was awesome. Follow Dave Wishnowsky on Twitter. It's at Wish List, but there's a C in there. It's at WISCHLIST, of course. You mentioned Kofi and what he was able to do. You also mentioned Brad. Isn't it amazing that, and I don't have the dates correct. I'm guessing it wasn't on this date last year, but certainly the turmoil that occurred after last offseason. Of course, Io, we were happy for him making the jump to the NBA. Now we hope that Kofi, and that kind of plays out the same as Io. By the way, I want to ask you about Io. But then all of a sudden, all three assistants are gone, two to Kentucky, one back to Gonzaga with Stephen Gentry, and you sit there and think, oh my goodness, I don't think I'd want to be Brad Underwood right now. And then all he did was rebound with maybe a staff that is as equal footing when it comes to recruiting and are showing it right now as what he has now. Isn't that amazing a year ago to where we are now, the changes that were made, and not only that, but how they landed on their feet softly?
It's absolutely remarkable. Really, it is. I mean, he navigated that with incredible aplomb last year. Because you lose all 3 years. That's all three of your assistants in one offseason is unheard of. And for one school to steal two away,
right?
It's crazy. But I think the staff is as good and perhaps even better that he put together. So it's amazing what he was able to do. And then you win a Big Ten championship and navigate all the other issues they had in season two. Just really remarkable. Illinois is really fortunate to have Brad Underwood at the head of the program. You know, I just think he's a steady hand there. He's confident in what he can do and the kind of things he can accomplish by putting a staff together, and just really lucky to have him. And that was remarkable. I don't think it's appreciated enough on a national basis what he did, losing all three assistants and keeping things going without skipping a beat.
How about these freshmen coming in? And of course, you get the news on Sky Clark to join, you know, Sincere Harris, Jaden Epps. I mean, what a crew coming in for this Illinois team. What do you think of these guys? Obviously, they're going to be counted on. Here, I forget Ty Rogers. He might be somebody that I'm looking forward to more than any, just because we haven't had that kind of a kid in a long time in terms of his size and skill. They'll be asked to do a lot. Are you confident they can? How patient do we have to be as Illinois fans?
I think you have to have some patience, but I love the talent level of these guys. I mean, you really got such a great mix. Too. You've got the, you know, dynamic five-star, potential superstar. You've got a scorer in Epps. You've got a really athletic wing in Harris. And Rogers just like a, you know, bulldog. and I think he's going to be fantastic addition to the team, too. So I think anytime with freshmen, you got to come in with some tempered expectations. But it's a great influx of talent and athleticism. And I think it'll elevate Illinois athletically from where they've been overall the past couple of years. And I think it's a sign of the direction of where Underwood and the staff really want to recruit in terms of the type of talent they're bringing in too. So there's going to be some growing pains, I'm sure, with them. And I we'll see what happens with the rest of the roster shaking out. There may be some more veterans that come along to help supplement everything with that too. So, but I'm really excited about this freshman class. I like the additions a lot.
I agree. I was laughing with Trevor yesterday. I said, I feel like it's unprofessional to talk about this roster right now because of everything that's still, you know, going to happen with the portal, et cetera. So I just kind of always stay away from that subject until I hear something. It's just one of those like, okay, hey, I heard something, so here we go. I do want to ask you one more Illinois question, and it's on, you look at a guy like Johnny Davis and what he did and elevated his stock this year at Wisconsin. Jaden Ivey, of course, you kind of understood where he was going to be, and he certainly lived up to that. Do you see a kid like R.J. Melendez making that kind of a jump, or is that just unrealistic? And what do you expect out of a guy like Melendez and also Luke Goody, who I think will obviously they'll both have bigger roles next year, and I think they're both ready to tackle those roles?
Yeah, I like those guys a lot. I think RJ is going to take a leap. I hesitate to say he's going to take a Johnny Davis, Keegan Murray type of massive leap. I know a lot of people have been saying that, and just kind of it seems like it's become kind of an assumption amongst people today. Well, he'll just have that big leap. Maybe he will. I'd love to see it. I think he's going to have a leap, though. He's got all the skill set, and I'm really excited to see what he gets to do with a season where he's playing more and where he's not dealing with appendicitis in the middle of the season as well, too, which I think derailed him. Luke Goody, I think I look at him as a guy who's really going to be a leader on this team. Illinois doesn't have a lot of experience currently on the roster right now. Goody didn't play a ton this past year, but he seems like he has a demeanor and a personality that's really going to serve as one of the leaders on the team, whether he's on the bench as a leader or in the game. And I think he's going to get plenty of minutes, but I just feel like he's a figure that'll be a strong leadership quality for this team next year.
Yeah, and talking to Piper, he always says that there's not anybody on that court that talks more smack than Luke Goody. So I don't think he backs down. He's ready to roll when it comes to that. One more, not with Illinois basketball, but of course someone that is synonymous, and that is Io. You are up in Chicago. What a freshman, if you will, rookie season for Io. Did anybody expect him to do what he did this year?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think anyone did. I was really excited when the Bulls got him, and I thought it was a good draft pick. But, you know, I thought they got a relative steal, but not to the level with where Io played. I mean, that was just fantastic to see him excel so well. And I just think it shows he's got a really bright future ahead of him. And it's so exciting for him to be in his hometown, playing for the Bulls. and just exciting for Illinois fans as well, too. It's a great ambassador for the university. It was a spectacular rookie season. I don't think anyone could ask for more from his rookie season. I would probably think, maybe Io. He's such a perfectionist.
Right.
He may think he should have done more, perhaps. He might be the one person that might think he should have done more as a rookie.
We always talk about, recruiting Chicago and how hard it is, and, so many kids that are really good leave Chicago. They don't come down to the University of Illinois. But could you have asked for a better marketing ploy? Not ploy. I don't mean to use that word. But literally, you have a stud from the University of Illinois that is now making waves with the Chicago Bulls in Chicago. I mean, I can't think of a better a better way to market your team than what Iowa is doing right now.
No, it's fantastic. And just the way he carries himself and where he speaks about what he learned at U of I and working with Underwood and everything, too. He's just such a mature, well-spoken guy, which we saw when he was with the Illini as well, too, and it carries over. You couldn't ask for a better representative for the university in a better spot for the university and in connecting with local kids and also on a national basis as well, too.
No doubt. Dave Wisnowski's our guest. A few more minutes with Dave. I always appreciate it. I haven't talked to you in a while, so I don't feel like I want to shut up yet. So I'm going to keep going. One more on Io. We're not there like you are. You're in the heart of Chicago. Is obviously down here, everybody from, all walks of life just absolutely adore Io. And people that maybe didn't even watch much Illinois basketball, they know who Io is, and they just think he's the best. In Chicago, is he kind of taking a role similar to that? Obviously, the professional game is a lot different. You got DeRozan. You've got plenty of guys up there that are solid guys and names, if you will. But where is Io kind of coming in on a pecking order in terms of popularity?
I mean, you see people, wearing T-shirts with his name on it and everything now, and I think he's creeping into the consciousness up here.
That's cool.
I think the Bulls having a strong season for the first year in a long time helped. I think they need to continue to build on that, though, too, because the Bulls have fallen off from where they were in the pecking order, obviously, from the Jordan days, far up, but from the Rose days, even, it's taken a dip, and I think they're heading back up in that direction, and Io's going to be a key component of that. But you do see, you see apparel, you see his name around.
Yep.
And there's people, they know who he is as well, too. So he's starting to make an impact up here for sure.
Jeremy Warner always used to laugh at me for constructing questions like I was still putting together a television sports report. So here we go. I'm transitioning to football, but I'm doing it with the professional level to get back to Illinois, because that's what we do in TV. That's what we're taught. So I'll do this. The Chicago Bears, we got the draft tonight, but the Bears don't have a first-round pick. How isn't that just, doesn't that stink?
Yeah. I read today, which I didn't realize, I think it's 4 of the past 5 years they haven't had a first-round pick.
Oh, you're kidding.
I didn't even realize that, but it makes it a lot less interesting when they don't have a first-round pick. It's like, the draft, but they're not part of it for all the hoopla.
It does. The Bears in general, they're just kind of, they're kind of in what the Bulls were for a while, and then all of a sudden, the Bulls started to, hey, we're back in the conscious now of everyone. Are the Bears, you can tell what's on my mind, are the Bears a year or two maybe away from kind of getting back in the thought process of a team that could compete?
Probably. I think, with a new coach, new regime coming in, you really don't know much. There's not name recognition there, really. Josh Fields is intriguing, but is he the guy? I hope he is.
Yeah.
I think he's got a lot of talent, but there's still big question marks there. And really, a lot of the familiar faces they've had recently, the new regime has kind of unloaded some of those guys. So they're sort of a team without an identity right now.
Good call.
And they need to build that. I don't know what you would say the Bears' identity is right now.
Yep.
Fields, maybe, but that, I don't really feel like that's right either. He hasn't proven himself enough for that. So they're a big question mark, I don't think they're going to have any huge earth-shattering moves in the draft here that are going to really help identify that that identity as well, too. So we kind of have to see. They're kind of figuring out who they are and if they can probably get things going in the right direction.
Now, Dave Wisnowski, you and I are similar age. I shouldn't say that. You're a lot younger than me. But the point is, you've been around Illinois. You've been around Illinois football. What's that?
I don't think I'm that much.
I don't know, man.
We're We're contemporaries.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I'm not wishing anybody to be 51. I'll tell you that. Drink, by the way. But I'll say this. You've lived the Illinois football life plenty to know that, oh, we got a new coach. This is the one that's right. going to do it. I thought that with Ron Turner, I'll be honest with you. I thought Ron Zook, and they both did some things, you know. Lovey, I really was high on, and I couldn't have been more low when he left. So Brett Bielema comes along. I'll say this. I just feel like the dude has a plan, and he's sticking to it. And we had Joey Wagner on the other day from Illini Inquirer, and he and I kind of talked a little bit about that it just seems like Coach B has a plan and had a plan when he first stepped on campus. And I love everything I'm seeing to date.
I do, too. I think Illinois finally has a true big-time college coach.
Yes.
You know, who fully gets it. I think that Turner was a is still since he was an NFL guy coming in. Lovey was the same way. Zook was a great recruiter.
Yes.
Maybe not a great program builder or program manager. Brett seems to really have that plan. I think, you know, he was frustrated with the way things ended at Arkansas, and I think he spent those 2-3 years he was out probably rethinking what he would do if he came back in as well, too, and learned from his mistakes. I think he humbled him some when he didn't succeed in the SEC the way he was hoping to, I'm sure, and he's back in, you know, conference he's familiar with, a job I think he's sincerely really excited to be in his home state and coaching. And I love what he's doing, too. I think at some point they're going to hit some home runs in recruiting, and that's what we still need to see. But I love the foundation he's building and getting in-state recruiting on more solid footing. And just there's some nice momentum there. And he just seems confident and self-assured about what he's doing. He's not grasping at straws like I think we've seen with some other coaches in the past.
That's a good point. And I'm with you on that with the in-state. It's awesome. Here's the one thing that we never talk enough about, but we all understand it's the elephant in the room. You have not had a quarterback that you developed and turned into a good quarterback since Nathan Shielhouse, and that's been a long time ago. Nate's still a young kid, and I love that dude, but that's been a while ago since you had Nate Shielhouse. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just mentioned home run. Is it going to literally have to be Barry Lunny Jr. and Brett Bielema hitting that home run with the quarterback? And who knows? Maybe it's O'Leary, you know, the kid coming in that could be that guy. But is that going to be what it takes to finally make Illinois kind of that team that can not only consistently win 6 or 7, but have the ability to win 10 in a given year?
I think so. I think when you look at the seasons that Illinois had, its best years, we've had a very strong quarterback there. And that has, you make a great point. I mean, it's really been the past decade. It's been lacking.
Right.
And still, you know, I'm hopeful about DeVito coming in, but this whole game of bringing in transfers all the time and fifth-year senior type of things, that's not really a way to build a program. You've got to develop someone. And it would sure help if they could nail down a true star. Maybe one of these other guys will develop. They might be great. I hope that is the case. But it would be awesome to see if they could hit a home run anywhere, hitting a home run on a star quarterback that they've recruited and are developing would be fantastic to see.
I have kept you too long, but I cannot let you leave without a Cubs question. You've got Suzuki. And, man, has he been impressive. I know that this is a Cubs team that, you know, for all purposes, if everything went right, I think they could challenge for a wild card spot. Obviously, when you lose 3 or 4 to the Pirates, it really brings you back down to earth. But what do you think overall of this team? And obviously the understanding that, you know, all the big names are gone, essentially, except for Contreras. But, you know, in other words, take me down the path of how the Cubs get back to where they are a team that is destined to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's an interesting season for the Cubs because I there's a lot I like about this team.
Yeah.
I think they've got some nice offensive players. I think they have a more patient approach than what they've had the past few years. Suzuki's been a revelation. I mean, he's just been fantastic so far. I really like their bullpen a lot so far, too. The starting pitching has been shaky. But they're in this strange place where I don't fully understand what they're trying to do. Because to me, this year is kind of trying to figure out who some of the younger guys on the team are that might be worth moving forward with. But they're still playing Hayward a lot, too. And I understand they're paying Hayward a lot. But at some point, they need to flip over and give more innings to younger guys to really figure out who's worth keeping, who's you do want to load and move forward. I think they made some savvy trades last year and built up some more talent in the farm system. You got to let that develop a little bit. I like the Stroman signing. At first, he hasn't panned out very well, so we got to see what happens there. But it's just an interesting transitional season. I do think, to your point, they have enough to maybe compete for a wild card. They're certainly not World Series contenders or really division champion contenders, most likely. But if they could have a solid year and be in competition for a wild card, I'd be pretty pleased with it. It's just I'm trying to figure out exactly what they're doing with the roster in terms of the lineup on a daily basis, and they need to get some more health with their starting rotation, too. With Miley and Alec Mills, they can get in there. That might help stabilize things a little bit. So a lot of question marks with the Cubs right now. And we'll just have to see where it goes.
I kept you too long, Dave, and I can't thank you enough.
Hey.
It's always great to visit with you, my man.
It was a pleasure. Absolutely.
Well, listen, until your next trip to Charleston, South Carolina, and, you know, playing golf down in, what is it, Kiowa? Or how do you say it?
Yeah, that's a big course down. That's right.
Kiowa. I always say it wrong, and people, I know one time on television, I think it was my first year on TV, I said La Jolla, California, and a guy called me. The guy calls me and goes, Lon, I know you're from Camargo, Illinois, but it's La Jolla. And I was like, ow!
You don't know until you know, though, Lon, right?
Right, right. The La Jolla never came up a lot in my Villa Grove or Southern Illinois days. So, well, I love it. Well, Dave, happy draft day, even though the Bears don't have that first pick.
That's right.
But, hey, it's always great to catch up, and we'll do it again, my friend.
Sounds good, Lon. Have a great afternoon.
All right, buddy. That is Dave Wishnowsky. Love having Dave Wishnowsky on the air with us again. Follow him on Twitter at Wishlist. That's WISCHLIST. Okay, coming up, Brad Underwood spoke yesterday. We wanted you to get a chance to hear all of what he had to say regarding the transfer portal, regarding some of his players that are obviously are here. You got a lot of freshmen coming in that haven't played any Big Ten minutes. You got Dane Danger, who now has a big role on this Illinois team. Obviously, RJ and Luke are back. So a lot of things, and then a lot of things that could still happen here. Obviously, rumor central, right, flying out of control. But just a lot of things to listen to with Brad Underwood. So when we return, we will hear from your Illinois coach, and then Trevor, that's his name, and I will wrap it up, of course, with Cardinals baseball starting early tonight. The Cardinals hosting the Arizona Diamondbacks. Dakota Hudson on the hill for the Birds. We'll do it all next.
It's showtime.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh. Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good? All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, Lante, Trevor Valise, getting you through a Thursday, getting you closer to the NFL draft tonight. The Bears, as we know, no first-rounders unless something happens, obviously. So I don't know that the Bears will be trading or making any trade. I'm not sure that what they could even do to get into the first round. So that's always kind of a bummer. I know you and I talked about that earlier today, about not having a pick and how it kind of ruins the draft, especially night number one, when otherwise you're pretty excited about what your team is going to get. So
yeah, I mean, we hit on it, but
yeah,
no Illini going in tonight, no, most likely, unless something crazy happens with Kirby Joseph, and no Bears picks tonight. So I can't say I have a ton of interest in this. I mean, you know, we hit on it, like, no real flashy names either.
No, it's crazy.
I mean, you recognize some of the people at the top of the board, obviously,
yep,
and there's a lot of Big Ten talent, especially from wide receiver. And there's Olave with Ohio State, yes. Garrett Wilson with Ohio yes. State, Purdue,
Hutchison with
Michigan, yep. David Bell with Purdue.
That's right.
So, I mean, there's names you
Karloftis,
know.
Purdue.
Karloftis. Yep. There's names we know, but, I don't care if Kayvon Thibodeau goes third or fourth. Like, I'm not going to, if it's on, I'll sit and watch it, but I'm not going to make it like appointment television to get home and race to the draft tonight.
I totally agree. Now, I will be, I think, heading to a baseball game, so we're going to sneak out of here soon and try to make that happen. But, the Cardinals draft 23rd, so I may be able to get home and just sit down just in time for them to be drafting, and maybe they'll get Karloftis from Purdue. They could use a guy like that. So we'll see. All right, yesterday, Brad Underwood had a chance to meet with the media. A couple of the players, I know Coleman Hawkins, Luke Goody, they met with...
Those are the players.
Those are it. Those are the players no, that met. I couldn't remember if Dane...
It was Dane, RJ, Luke, Coleman.
Got it.
I mean, Benjamin was supposed to be there, and then he enters the portal. I mean, unless you wanted to talk to Brandon Lieb, that's pretty much who's on the
that's
roster
it.
Right now.
That's all you got. Well... it was interesting to hear Brad. We wanted you to hear all of that today because, he said some poignant things about how it's not easy being a college basketball coach right now. Now, nobody is playing the violin for a guy that makes over $3 million a year, and we all understand that coaches are paid handsomely to deal with this kind of stuff, but Brad Underwood does have a point in the sense that two of the biggest things to hit college basketball in maybe 100 years have happened in the last 2 years. The NIL, the name, image, likeness, and also the transfer portal, which now allows players to come and go freely and not miss a year, especially the first time they do it. Those are two major changes that have happened here just recently. And now what you're finding is guys like Jay Wright are like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't know if that's why he retired.
No, I mean,
but he's probably like, I'm out.
I mean, you're seeing definitely this wave of, Boeheim hasn't retired yet, but yes. Krzyzewski. I mean, I'm sure that anyone who's used to doing it that way for 40 years, Izzo's a curmudgeon anyways. Some of these guys, Roy Williams,
a
lot of these guys, it feels like a little bit more than just a coincidence that as this all came into play, that was when they decided. And, I mean, they're old anyways, so
exactly.
They were probably waiting
exactly.
for the right time. But I can't help but think that some of this has helped push them to think that now is the right time.
Hard to argue that. And Brad Underwood, of course, one of those that has plenty of years left coaching, hopefully all of those here at Illinois. He touched on that topic and more yesterday when he met with the media. Here is your Illini head coach, Brad Underwood.
Slow time. I just checked, lay my computer open and see what the next 50 people in the portal will look like. No, it's a very productive spring. It was very important for us to get back to pre-COVID habits and to have an off season. And last year, at the end of the season, we got wrecked with COVID. So we basically stopped everything we were doing and tried to stay healthy. So. Trying to get back in that mold. Obviously nobody in this program has had an off season. It's a very important 4 weeks for us with Fletch, with individual workouts. TA and Chester and Jeff have been unbelievable in terms of identifying players' weaknesses and then taking that to the court and just spending time with them individually on weaknesses to get better. And so as their bodies transform and move and we get towards the end of the semester, it's a really good feeling to go into the summer and knowing that there's a base and they can help these new guys when they get here in June to jump right in and feel comfortable. So I say the best thing about freshmen is they become sophomores, and this is why they have an off season. And this 5 month period is huge for them. we forget that Coleman and Brandon really haven't had an off season either because of all the last couple of years. So big excited about that. Ben going into the portal today. Wish him nothing but the best and continued success. He was an outstanding student, He put himself in a position to graduate and felt like that playing time was something that he wanted to try to enhance, and doing that elsewhere was something he was excited about. So we thank him, we wish him the best, and then we'll continue to keep recruiting as the portal just keeps adding players every day, and that time frame's coming to an end here on the first, and things will settle in a little bit, and we'll go from there.
Brad, have you been able to have an exit? Would be considered an exit interview with the dudes, all the Duke guys on your roster, as of right now?
With all of the
guys that were on last year's team.
Yeah. And those happen right after the season. Obviously, we're with them every day on the court. But that's something that again, we're in the completely new era of what teams look like and how you build them, and they change their minds every other day, it seems like, and we'll have to live with that as we continue to move forward here in the next few years.
Can't name names, obviously, but there's different skill sets and position-wise that you want to add to the roster.
Well, obviously, with Kofi's loss, I mean, there's going to be a different, different dimension for us, and we'll have to see what that looks like as we go through. Obviously, we touch the paint a lot just through post entries. We're going to continue to touch the paint. We're just going to do that through different ways. And we set out in this class with the high school guys that we signed. Those four young men can all touch the paint off the bounce. They're very gifted. They can go get one anytime they want. And that was a priority for us in this class. And obviously with with Kofi being gone, Dane gives us a different skill set. He's very versatile, and we'll fit in the pieces as need be in terms of continuing to add another big, continuing to add shooting, and guys with some athleticism.
Fred, do you have to recruit your own roster in a sense, the guys that are here?
Absolutely.
Do you feel that they could go into the portal?
Every day. Every day.
What does that look like for you?
Every day. It's building relationships, and it's every day. And again, it's we're in a cycle where usually if a kid goes into the portal, it's been shopped around by somebody for multiple weeks. And their people, their whatever, are calling so-and-so. It's just continually building relationships. I think if you can have 3, 4, 5 guys that stay pretty consistent, that's pretty much what we're going to see in the recruiting process.
Jake and Hutch put their names in to the draft. Is there clarity on their future? Do you expect them to be back at all next year?
Decisions to be made. It's no different than what we did with Io and Kofi. So that's time will tell there. We've got to continue to recruit and build a roster, and that's keep the lines of communication open, and that's what we'll do.
How hard is it to operate on a daily basis with all these unknowns?
It's not easy. It's not fun. I know that. It's miserable. This isn't what any of us signed up for to get in this. I remember the days when you signed 2 or 3 kids in the fall. You knew what your roster was. You planned. You built. You had guys graduate. You had guys on track to graduate. You knew what your APR was. You knew what your retention was, and it's complete unknown. And to sit here and say that I haven't talked to a coach yet that's having any fun, and I talked to 3 today, and everybody's miserable because of all the unknowns and the very little control that we do have. But that's a challenge, and I'm not going to sit here and complain about it. It's the hand we're dealt right now, and we got hit with 2 major changes, the biggest in the history of our game and in our sport, in the transfer portal and NIL, to have to have really no rules and no guidelines as to or parameters as to what's next. It's a helpless feeling, And along with that is uncertainty, but we're going to tackle it the best way we can, and we're going to find young student athletes who want to be a part of Illinois basketball. And I'm not complaining. It's just very different than anything we've ever seen, and that doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just the uncertainty is not fun.
And what do you think could make it better for everyone?
I have no idea. I got a letter today from the, you know, an email from the Big Ten, and there's all kinds of committees. The Oversight Committee of Football and Basketball are looking to do different things with calendars. At some point, we've got to get academics back into this. You know, kids, when they transfer, lose hours. We've worked so many years for graduation, for retention rates, four-year scholarships. All those things are by the wayside. And, you know, we're the 15th ranked public institution in the United States, and we're not talking academics. And kids are, you know, flying out of here in every place with a transfer and no idea that they're losing hours. And how do we get to graduation rates? So it's, you know, in my opinion, it's the kids who are losing. They're making a few dollars, but... It's. I don't know if it's sustainable.
Coach, a little off topic, but could you comment on Mark Emmer deciding to step down? And does that leave any kind of leadership vacuum as you deal with all these big changes?
Well, I think that the, you know, NCAA's obviously come under, you know, a lot of changes. They've basically rewritten their manuals, and I don't know what that means long term. I think that Mark's been in a in a very tough situation, and you know, what his factors were for stepping down, I haven't read. I just know that he's doing that, but we'll see. You know, I don't know if that means conferences manage it. I don't know if there's a commissioner of basketball or football, whatever that looks like down the road. I don't know, but there's obviously a reworking of what has been the NCAA manual. There's a committee that's transformation committee that's trying to put really a new rule book, a set of guidelines together, and we'll see how that all plays out.
Brad, what have you and your staff been able to communicate to Coleman about what his role could look like, not only on the floor but off the floor next year? What does that look like for you?
He's a veteran. And we need a leader, good player, guy that started. These guys are in positions to, as I call it, move up the scouting report. And have things that changes for them, and you've got to be prepared for that. You've got to be prepared when the other team's trying to stop you, and you become a focal point of what you're trying to do. And again, a lot of that for all these guys has been the weight room, has been getting stronger, has been getting tougher, having that mindset. But also a big part of that for Coleman is leadership. And we got a group of freshmen that come in here, and they need guidance. They need somebody who's going to tell them how to do it. And he's a veteran. He's been around, and we'll be counting on him.
Were you able to take advantage of this spring with this 4 weeks with the coach to player ratio being maybe closer to 1-to-1 than?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. And I mean, we've done small group, you know, individual stuff. We've been out of oven. And we've been in the arc, which has been great. We've had two courts, so we've been literally at four baskets, and just really narrowing things down has been great from that aspect, and that's been a real positive. And again, our coaches are phenomenal at the individual stuff. So we've addressed a lot of needs, and it's been great to watch and observe. They're getting better.
Everyone seems to think modern basketball is built on the offensive end. I think defensively, it's maybe even more important. What is the switchability, ability to put some ball screens, all that stuff with Dane and Coleman bring you guys to share on that end of the court?
Yeah, you know, I think we're different, obviously, without Kofi on that end as well. I think that we have to be careful that we don't forget that, you know, in college, there's no 3 seconds in the paint. Or there is 3 seconds in the paint, excuse me. It's not like the NBA where they have that rule. And we've got to be able to understand there's not going to be drastic changes in terms of schemes, because everybody's going to load up, you know, and they're going to protect the paint. But you know, what we do in ball screen coverage is can be a little different. It can be a little more have a little more flavor to it, so to speak, and variety. But again, until we get everybody, you know, and I say this all the time, defensive chemistry is the hardest thing to find. Until we get everybody and get our eyes on them, you know, together, we'll determine what that looks like.
You said RJ has made himself a future star. Who saw flashes of that? What's that process look like to building him up?
Yeah, work. You know, just make the jump. You know, from a freshman to a sophomore, and you know, that young guy's put on a lot of weight. You know, he squatted 300 yesterday, which when he first got here, we were afraid to put a bar on his back. You know, he's a guy that has got to continually work on his ball handling. You know, and a guy that athletically has a tremendous amount of gifts to do a lot of things, and we just want to keep enhancing those things. You know, it's one of the big adjustments freshmen make, perimeter players, is usually they get stronger so they can make a move to get to a spot. Then you have to become, this is where Io grew. He became a good enough ball handler that he could make a second move and get to another spot. Then you become unguardable. And those are the things that we're working with RJ to try to do is not just make the first move, but make the second one, because you're an elite ball handler.
Will you take a breath on May 1st, or do you feel like that's a hard deadline?
No. I don't know if there's going to be waivers. You know, I would assume that at some level there's going to be those. I'm not going to take a break until our guys get here in June. It is full on grind, you know, and to see what that looks like. So, you know, the calendars don't match because we have a May 1st transfer deadline. We have a June 1st pullout deadline, and for the NBA. So the calendars aren't in sync. And what that means, I don't know yet. The NCAA is going to determine that with how they approach waivers. And we did waivers we put in the transfer rule happened so we could do away with waivers. A lot of people talking about a lot of different waivers, so we'll see.
Do you stay patient in the portal because of that?
Yes, very. I'm not, you don't hear a lot about us in your guys' world on social and all that. I mean, it's the right guys. There's going to be another wave. There's, I don't know, you with 300 plus in the NBA, you know, not all those guys can get, there's going to be 60 drafted. So guys are going to make decisions to come back. It's about the right fit. We'll see who's in the draft, in the portal. You know, we'll see how all that plays out. But yeah, we're going to stay. You know, I think you'll see a run of guys here on Thursday and Friday that may jump in the portal that are in the draft to keep their options open as well. So, you know, patience is a virtue, but you want to find the right guys. And if you find the right guy, you better take it.
Do you anticipate keeping a scholarship open just as kind of a regular thing now? Or
in a perfect world, yes. Excuse me. In a perfect world, yes. Or two. I think that we've got to come to the realization that you're not playing 13 guys and going to keep all 13 happy. So why bring somebody in here, work them out, get them through, and then have them transfer? So I think you're going to find possibility to have one, two, three guys scholarships open potentially, see what happens this semester. We all know that the mid-semester stuff, it worked great for us this year. You know, with the ability to get Dane. So, yeah, I think it just makes sense to be able to do that.
What stood out about Dane's buy-in to that process over the last few years? Not playing games and reflecting on pushing him to the
character. I mean, he's a unbelievable warrior. I mean, that kid is driven. He wants to be great. He is literally done absolutely everything that we've asked him to do, from the weight room to the workouts to the nutrition piece. That's a commitment to buy-in. And I mean, we're talking about a high character guy who's hadn't played a game yet, but goodness, has he been tremendous to this point.
Luke kind of talked about being anxious to take on more of a leadership role now that there's kind of been a turnover on the roster. How has he kind of taken to that over the last couple of weeks?
It's natural for Luke. Luke can tell he was a quarterback. You know, you can. He's got instincts. He's got feel. He's, you know, he tried to do that this year. You know, feeling his way through that is sometimes hard for a freshman. You know, he has had a phenomenal spring. He's gotten bigger. You see it in his shoulders, his back. His game has grown from his ball handling, and with that will come a confidence that is instinctive for him to lead. And you know, he's got an innate ability to draw people to him. He's likable, and yet he's not afraid to talk a little trash, get into somebody. He knows right from wrong, and so I'm really excited. I think he's a guy that will be an incredible asset in our locker room.
I don't know what Brandon's role is going to be, but in this day when people are leaving, he seems really committed to the process.
He's gotten better. I mean, he has just gotten better. Brandon is. You know, he's adding weight, he's adding strength, and with that has come confidence. He's probably got confidence knowing Kofi's not here and he has to go against that every day. So it's, but no, he's just getting better and better and better. And as that process is happening with age and maturity, we see his confidence rise. You know, he's had moments in practice. He didn't see those moments on the court necessarily, but you know, he really shoots it. He's got great hands. He's got great timing as a shot blocker. And yeah, I'm excited for him because the next 4 or 5 months are really big.
That is Brad Underwood, Illinois basketball coach, chatting about everything. What, he's got like 9 guys on his roster right now, including 4 that have never played a game in college.
Correct.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Of course, there's a lot to do on this transfer portal. Of course, that thing heating up today, whatever. I mean, it's always on fire. So expect some news, you know, obviously. Let me say it this way. Expect the news to continue to happen as we get closer and closer to summer.
Saturday's the last day you can enter it.
Exactly.
Without penalty. So
it's a good call. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're taking a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Short show. We got Cardinals baseball tonight. It is The Drive. Drive, ESPN Radio, 93.5, Lante, Trevor Valise. Got to thank Dave Wishnowski today joining us to talk a little Illinois. I always like to get Dave's perspective. You know, he's right in the heart of Chicago, so it's nice to get kind of that idea of what they're saying and what he's hearing in the big city, because like it or not, obviously Illinois has a lot of fans, for sure. I don't mean like it or not. Obviously, on that end, a lot of alumni there that are great for the University of Illinois, and a lot of people that come down, catch the games, etc., but also a lot of talent in that Chicago area, whether it be football or basketball. So certainly good to hear Dave's perspective on all of that. All right, Cardinals baseball. I mean, any fights tonight, you think? I mean, or do they got Arizona coming to town now? Is it all love now?
Yeah, I don't think so, because, I mean, they gave him Goldschmidt for...
Right.
I mean, at the time, you would say Weaver and Kelly were decent.
Yes.
Prospects, but you can't be thrilled if you're Arizona with how either of those has looked so far. I think they've both been hurt. I would say it's all love because, you know, thanks for handing us an all-star first baseman, basically.
I'm still shocked, and I understand the finances of baseball, but I'm still shocked that Arizona got rid of Goldschmidt. Unless there was something there of Goldie just saying, I'm not going to play here.
Maybe. You don't really see that in baseball much where the star forces his hand. It's weird.
But he's
sure.
Just a perfect guy to work yourself around.
Sure.
He's a middle of the order. He's a first baseman. It's not like he's playing a position that maybe injuries could rack up. You know, he's just a guy that has been durable. He's a guy that hits for contact. He hits for power. He seems, I mean, from what I see, seems like a good teammate. Just seems like for somebody like Arizona, it would have been a perfect guy to just continue to build around. But obviously, the Cardinals made the deal, and I'm fine having him on that infield for the next, you know, 3-4 years in a St. Louis Cardinals uniform. And by the way, he had a pretty good sprint out to the brawl yesterday. So I kudos to him. And Yachty was staying right with him.
That was more than, I mean, he was...
He was on his way.
That was like someone was timing him for a 40 or something. I mean, he was
I was impressed by Goldie, and I was also impressed by Yachty because he was coming full bore. I liked what Yachty did. He kept the shin pads on. I mean, if you have a chance to keep as much as you can going into battle, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, if you're
going to
be in the middle of a mob of people, you might as well keep the catcher's gear on.
Hey, who's going tonight for the Cardinals?
It's Dakota Hudson.
Oh, gotcha.
And it's Humberto Castellanos for the Diamondbacks, who has not been good. This is his second start. He was a reliever for the first 2 weeks, then made his first start last week and gave up 4 runs in 3 innings.
Yeesh.
So if you're the Cardinals, this is probably, hopefully you're looking to branch off of yesterday with another sort of get right spot this weekend with the Diamondbacks in town for 4.
Get 3, right? That's what you say. It's hard to sweep. Get 3, and you've done your job. How about the Cubbies tonight?
They have Drew Smyly going, who has been okay but not great. Kyle Wright, who's been extremely good for Atlanta. I think he punched out like 11 in his last start. His ERA is currently 1 through 2 starts.
And you get Acuna tonight.
And Ronald Acuna's back. As of tonight.
Acuna. I always say Acuna.
So the Acuna's Cubs got it done last night.
Congratulations.
Wisdom hit a home run in the extra innings. The Cubs won last night, but I'm not expecting too much tonight.
It never fails because it seems like it's always my favorite team that gets a guy back when you're playing them. Well, for the Cubbies tonight, you get Acuna.
Maybe he'll be rusty.
There you go. He'll be. Well, you should
I don't know
be.
About that.
He should be. All right, let's get out of here. Cardinals baseball is next. Don't forget, as mentioned, Deion Thomas will join us tomorrow at 4:20, and I think, Chris Raby, obviously, talking St. Louis Blues. From St. Louis, Chris Raby will join us. We'll get all of that tomorrow, plus Hans D., who is a certified pilot, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's
news.
Awesome. Congrats to Hans.
It is great. I know we chatted on that earlier, but yeah, that's awesome for Hans. So he will be here tomorrow. Our first Who You Got with a certified pilot. Kind of steering the program. That's going to be awesome. All right, let's go Cards. We'll see you guys tomorrow. We're out. It is The Drive.